I want to wish for all hearers of the Word of God a most magnificent day in the Lord. I just want to share that I honestly believe that I knew God's grace and joy while traveling the holy highway on my path to full salvation. But what I felt then wasn't even close to what I now experience daily in my intimate walk with Jesus Christ. And the good news is, everyone can reach that point, but superficial Christianity need not apply. Sadly, God knows if we are not fully engaged. In fact, He knows before we do. Hey friends, welcome to the next installment of DWJD's audio teaching sermon series. Today's sermon is entitled Exit of the Holy Spirit and is the 63rd in this series. I am Pastor Jefferson, and my goal is to lift up all listeners within the sound of my voice. Recall that in the last audio sermon, we talked about both the arrival and departure of the Holy Spirit. He arrived 50 days after the crucifixion of Christ and will depart 50 days prior to the removal of Satan and his demonic angels from out of the heavenly realm. Once again, these dates are highly symbolic and amazing when viewed in the context of biblical history. As I just mentioned, the death of Christ was the full payment for the whole of humanity's sin. Open up your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. It reads from out of the Greek, "For Christ also suffered for sins once, and for all, trading his righteousness for humanity's unrighteousness, so that he might bring you before God, after having indeed been put to death in his physical body, but having been made alive nevertheless in the spiritual realm via his bodily resurrection." 50 days past the death of Christ, God sent down the Holy Spirit to mankind. The death of Jesus ushered in a whole new era with his sacrifice on the cross paying off our sin debt, a debt we would never be able to settle on our own, so that he might bring us before God Almighty. Let me ask you disciples out there a question. How do we get Jesus to bring us before God Almighty? I'll give you a hint. It's what I've been talking about over the past 62 sermons. The answer is we must invest time and effort of our own accord and volition to create an intimate relationship with Jesus. We do this via our travel along the Holy Road. Once that's been satisfactorily accomplished, Jesus recommends us to his Heavenly Father, and it is his Father God who permanently adopts us into his family. This is the moment of our salvation, a state I constantly refer to as being fully fledged. But what Jesus did, as stated in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, the devil will try to replicate in the tribulation. The Bible treats the midpoint of the tribulation much like a mirror between good and evil. The middle of the tribulation sees the departure of God's Holy Spirit and the near simultaneous release of the beast who comes from out of the pit. As we covered last time, the Holy Spirit must be out of the way to make room for this most unholy spirit. Open your Bible now to Revelation chapter 11, verse 7. It reads from out of the Greek, "And when they," the two witnesses, "shall have completed their testimony, the beast coming up out of the abyss will make with them war, and will overcome them, and will kill them." The word found in thought 2 for beast is therion, and means a wild, brutal, and venomous beast, a most dangerous animal. Interestingly, this word refers to an animal never to be used for sacrifice. The word in thought 2 for coming up is anabahino, and means to ascend, to arise, or to climb out. the three times we see this word in Scripture, it's always talking about the beast. The Greek word for abyss is abussos, and means a very deep or bottomless, boundless pit. The six times this word is seen, it's always in conjunction with members of the unholy Trinity. It will be on the 5th of June, 2037, when this unholy beast will be released from the boundless pit. His release follows the departure of the Holy Spirit on the very same day. Once more, it's the Holy Spirit who currently restrains him there. For those who aren't sure about the actions of this beast, I remind you of what we said back in sermon number 56, when we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, where Paul said, "For the mystery of lawlessness is already working, and has been since the time of Christ. Only at present there is one restraining it, the Holy Spirit, until out of the midst he will be taken." There is one word seen in thought one for mystery of lawlessness, and it is mysterion. It is defined as a secret or mystery of something not unknowable. My English teacher always told me to avoid using double negatives, but in this case, it's okay. The Bible is telling us it's a secret, but in the sense that it can only become known through divine revelation. And God is the only one who can reveal it. The word in thought two for restraining it is katekthon, and means to hinder, hold fast, or to detain. The word for the midst, as seen in thought three, is mesu, and means the middle, between, or in the median. As you will learn shortly, the departure of the Holy Spirit does happen in the middle of the tribulation. Notice that thought three is a prophecy. More about that in a moment. The word in thought three for he will be taken is genetai, and it means to signify a change in location or place. And, as discussed in the last sermon, we know this date to be on the 5th of June, 2037. Take a look now at the sermon summary PDF sheet, section E, prophetic intervals. It shows that the arrival of the two witnesses will take place on the 24th of December, 2033, which is the Hebrew day of Hanukkah. As the Bible says, they will be protected for the entire duration of their 1,260-day ministry by the Holy Spirit. No one will be permitted to harm them in any way during this time. Okay, back to thought three being a dual prophecy. Just as all biblical prophecies are. It reads, "Until out of the midst he will be taken." In the first prophecy, it's referring to the Holy Spirit being taken out of the midst or middle of the tribulation. Again, referencing the PDF, we see that the second coming of Christ is exactly 1260 days away. Thus, the Holy Spirit will indeed be taken out right at the midpoint of the tribulation. We'll discuss what this means momentarily. For the second prophecy, it refers to the unholy beast who will be taken out from the midst of the bottomless and boundless pit. What we see here in Thessalonians is the near simultaneous fulfillment of both elements of Paul's prophecy. Now, the Holy Spirit is God, and since God is omnipresent, meaning he can be everywhere at once, this explains that the Holy Spirit can both restrain the unholy beast in the pit and protect the two witnesses on the Temple Mount at the same time. Whereas the unholy beast is not omnipresent. He is either locked away in the pit or free to roam, in this case, the earth. Once the Holy Spirit releases him, takes him out from the midst of the pit, he will proceed straight to the Temple Mount and kill God's two witnesses. Note that from the unholy spirit's release on 5 June of 2037, it is also 1,260 days until he is thrown back into the abyss. This happens upon the return of Jesus Christ on the 17th of November, 2040. So it's time to now discuss what it means regarding the Holy Spirit's departure. Recall that Jesus had his disciples remain in Jerusalem for the arrival of God's Holy Spirit. This was a prophecy regarding the formal arrival of man's salvation. As I've said to you many times, salvation is the conclusion of the process of us walking down God's holy road, or the proverbial path leading to righteousness. This is symbolic of our learning and absorbing all the knowledge we can while building an intimate relationship with Jesus. With this fulfillment of our righteousness, following the recommendation of Jesus, we are at that moment eternally saved. Jesus brings us before his Father, as we just mentioned in thought 4 of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. And it is at this moment when God Almighty grants us permanent adoption into his holy family. Jesus formally began his ministry on the 22nd of October of 29. And 3.5 years later, he purchased our salvation on the cruel cross of Calvary. Up to this point in time, no one was yet saved. The price had not been paid. And even after his death, it was a full 50 days before the Holy Spirit arrived. It was upon this date, the 22nd of May of 33, that full salvation began. This proves that salvation is a process where only Jesus can be the teacher and the Holy Spirit the facilitator of that instruction. Jesus taught for 1,260 days, beginning when he exited the wilderness on the 30th of November of 29. His teaching ended upon his ascension on 13 May of 33. The Holy Spirit arrived 10 days after that. These facts also prove there is a minimum amount of time required in order to be able to assimilate a sufficient amount of oil in our proverbial lamps, so as to be sufficient to gain the recommendation of Jesus when he brings us before his heavenly Father. No one was saved prior to the arrival of the Holy Spirit. The disciples endured 3.5 years of teaching before reaching that point. Moving now to the end of this age, the tribulation officially begins when the man who will be the Antichrist gets the leaders of Israel to sign and agree to what the Bible calls a firm commitment. This will happen on the 26th of November of 2033. The first demonstrated miracle the entire world will be able to see with their own eyes happens 30 days later, with the appearance of God's two witnesses on the Temple Mount on the 24th of December of 2033. This is the moment when no one will be able to credibly deny we are living in the last days. If a person hasn't effectively begun their discipleship training in earnest prior to this point, they will not have enough time remaining to accumulate the necessary amount of oil. The Holy Spirit will be departing in the sense that only those who can complete their journey down the Holy Road prior to the 5th of June of 2037 will have sufficient time to finish. Anyone who begins after the 24th of December of 2033 will be left behind at the rapture. 50 days after the exit of the Holy Spirit, Jesus will return to remove his church. So knowing that, you'd think everyone will get serious about God and Jesus. Nope. Fully one half of the church will be left standing on the ground watching their brothers and sisters in Christ go up to meet Jesus in the air. It will be both a most glorious and terribly sad day for followers of Christ. The departure of the Holy Spirit is also the day the 40-day war in heaven begins, which, as we discussed, will lead to the expulsion of Satan and his demons from out of heaven on the 24th of July, 2037, the same date as the rapture. So the midpoint of the tribulation, the 5th of June, 2037, is an interesting line of demarcation. Prior to that date, Salvation is still possible while the Holy Spirit is around. After that date, the apparatus for the unholy Trinity will be brought to bear, ushering in the era of the mark of the beast. While no one will be able to complete eternal salvation during this time, there will now become available the dire threat of eternal damnation. And while we don't know all the details regarding how the full process is going to play out, the Bible tells us it will involve receiving some kind of mark on the right hand or forehead. My opinion at this point is I believe people wishing to join in the worship of Satan as God will be required to swear their allegiance to him in some manner. It might be in the form of an oath, where their password for access to the Antichrist economic system will be either their fingerprints on their right hand and/or their ocular scan from their eyes. Go back and listen to audio sermon number 38, Cursing the Holy Spirit, for a more in-depth discussion of this topic. Taking the mark of the beast will be the equivalent of cursing the Holy Spirit. When you examine the PDF of the summary sermon, note that even in the first half of the tribulation, we are still under the protection of the Holy Spirit. Lawlessness will be held largely in check. This period allows time for those who began their trek on the road to holiness prior to the 24th of December of 2033 to complete their journey, and they will be raptured 3.5 years later. Following the departure of the Holy Spirit, there will be a 50-day period prior to the unholy Trinity being released on the earth. This is the time when the church will know the arrival of the bridegroom is imminent. The unholy Trinity will be composed of, first, the Antichrist. He's already here, alive on the earth, but will not be revealed until the 26th of November of 2033. Second, the unholy Spirit. He will be released from his prison on the 5th of June of 2037. And 50 days later, the third member of the unholy Trinity, Satan, arrives on the earth on the 24th of July of 2037. The Antichrist will play the role of Messiah and will attempt to fool the world into thinking that he is. He will attempt to fake his death and resurrection. However, few Jews and Christians will be fooled. The unholy Spirit will impersonate God's Holy Spirit, and he will be the facilitator of the demonic followers of Satan. It will actually be his mark that the eternally damned will assume when they accept the worship of Satan. And finally, Satan has always wanted to supplant God Almighty and steal his worship. The devil will finally gain the worship of the world he has sought all this time, but only for a short while. By installing his fraudulent system, he will seek to dominate humanity by controlling all commerce. No one will be allowed to buy or sell apart from having the mark of the beast. If you thought the COVID-19 restrictions were bad, you ain't seen nothing yet. With the absence of God's Holy Spirit, the Bible says lawlessness will become rampant. God leaves his true disciples on the earth after the death of the two witnesses as a continuing voice for the coming Christ. They will urge everyone they meet to resist the unholy Trinity with all their might, even unto death. That will be their only chance to make it to the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Failing that, they will be eternally doomed, eventually being sent to the lake of fire. Satan was created as an immortal being, and so he will never taste physical death. However, his expulsion from heaven essentially accomplishes the exact same thing. It is a symbolic form of death, as the devil will endure a permanent change in circumstances. He will lose all access to God Almighty. When he is dropped off on the earth, he will be angry, knowing that he has a short time remaining. The term hell on earth does not do justice to what is about to happen. In fact, the Bible describes these final 1260 days as the Great Tribulation. Jesus said that were those days not shortened or limited by God Almighty, that no life would survive. But thankfully, those days will be limited and life will indeed go on. I hope you're taking plenty of time to listen and review these sermons. There is a ton of information being presented which must be studied carefully in order to be able to digest all of it. This means study in the sense of getting ready to take the final exam. If you don't understand much of this, it should be an indicator that you aren't accessing the Holy Spirit often enough. Do your due diligence. That's how we build an intimate relationship with Jesus. Well, that's all the time we have for today. More of the same will be contained in the next audio sermon. So until next time, my beloved, this has been Pastor Jefferson speaking in God's holy name and for His glory alone. Amen.